I have good news for you today. Who could use a little good news? Well, praise God. If you've got a Bible, turn it to the book of Luke chapter 22. Luke chapter 22. So we've been in a series now for about 6 or 7 weeks because there are 9 fruit of the Holy Spirit and we're just a couple from the end. But the Bible says in Galatians 5, the Apostle Paul says, but the fruit of the Spirit is what? Say them with me. Is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things, there is no law. How many are grateful that no matter what happens with the pandemic, nobody's ever going to tell us not to love somebody? Nobody can ever tell us not to have joy. In fact, each and every one of these, as we've been walking through them, have you noticed? They're fruit of the Spirit because they come from a relationship with the Lord and a life that is submitted to the Spirit of God. So if I say, Lord, lead me and guide me, help me to live my life, what would it look like if I was full of the Holy Spirit? Well, it would look like these things. The fruit that would come out of my life, just like the fruit that comes off of a tree that's healthy, would be love and joy. And not only that, but these things aren't just emotions that happen to me. They don't just happen because I was, you know, just minding my own business and then I started loving people like Jesus loves people. These are choices that we make. We submit ourselves to the Holy Spirit and say, Lord God, today I don't feel like loving that person, but I'm going to love them. You know, Lord, the circumstances in my life really give me no darn good reason to be joyful, but I'm going to choose to lean into your joy. I'm going to remember that the joy of the Lord is my strength. How many are with me? Today, people are giving me a hard time, but I'm going to choose to pursue peace. I'm going to be a peacemaker because I'm a child of God. These are choices that we make, and the fruit of those choices are life-changing. And so what is faith? King James says faith, by the way, and the NIV says faithfulness. Why would they say two different words? Because in the Greek, those are the same word. It's interesting to me because when I think of those two words, faith and faithfulness, I don't think of the same thing. One of them is something that is proactive, that I do. If I put my faith in somebody, I'm going to trust them. I'm going to believe in them. But if I'm faithful, that means they're doing it back to me. And so whether it is faith is the object or the subject, either way, either it is something that I show towards somebody else or something that I receive because I'm being faithful, it's the same word. And so I think he's talking about both of them. But what's interesting to me about faithfulness, sometimes faith gets a lot of baggage attached to it, especially in our Pentecostal circles. There are all sorts of people that will tell you things about faith and what faith is and what faith isn't, and that really get us fixed so much on what we do with our mind and our positive thinking. And I think the kind of faith the Bible is talking about is so very practical. The word in Greek is pistis. It means belief. It means trust. It means reliance. It means a deep conviction. It means to be faithful. And so we might have started off in faith, but faithfulness lasts the long haul. Faithfulness isn't just something that is seasonal. It's something that we choose. And so there's a story in Luke chapter 22. At the end of Jesus' ministry, as he's saying goodbye to his disciples, he looked at them and he said, I know you're going to go through some hard times. He was looking at them and trying to teach them how to be leaders, how to be spiritual leaders, not to lord it over people like the Gentile leaders do, but just to be faithful. And he said something to Peter as he turned to him and said, I'm going to be praying for you, Peter, because you are those that have stood by me in my trials. That's an act of faithfulness, by the way, to stand next to somebody even when things aren't going well. He says, and I confer on you a kingdom, just as my Father conferred one on me, so that you might eat and drink at my table in my kingdom and sit on thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. All those were phrases of the Second Temple Jews, of ideas about what it was going to look like someday, that we're going to sit at the table and at that supper with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And there were parts of those prophecies that the righteous were going to sit on thrones and that everything was going to be settled out. And so Jesus is encouraging them about someday when everything is changed. And then he turns to Peter, whose original name was Simon. And he says something to him. He says, Simon, Simon, Satan has asked to sift you all as wheat. But I have prayed for you, Simon. So what? So that your faith may not fail. I've prayed for you that your faith may not fail. And when you have turned back, strengthen your brothers. I love this prayer. By the way, if there's a prayer I could pray for you this morning, it would just be that. I'm praying for you today that your faith doesn't fail. That it doesn't fail. And I'm convinced that just means that you don't stop having faith. Because I believe when faith happens in our life, it never fails us. Faith makes a difference from beginning to end. Faith makes a difference in the good times. Faith makes a difference in the bad times. Whatever it is you're going through today, you cannot make it without faith. And that faithfulness to stick with the Lord, to keep putting your trust in the Lord. We all have a choice. We're either going to rely on ourselves or we're going to rely on God. Which choice have you made today? I'm preaching to the choir, right? You got up, turned on YouTube. You got up. Some of you got dressed, combed your hair, came all the way to church at 9 o'clock in the morning when you could be at home. So I'm talking to the faithful today. I'm talking to people that have already decided to put their trust in God. But I just want to tell you how important it is and what a difference it makes in our life. And so faith is not only putting my faith in someone else, but faithfulness. When I am that kind of a person that somebody can put their trust and their faith in me, that is a fruit of the Holy Spirit. And so Jesus said to them, I'm conferring on you a kingdom. I'm going to entrust you with something. Even though for most of the Gospels, they were knuckleheads. And most of the time, they got the questions wrong. I love especially in the Gospel of Mark, which we think is the earliest one, the disciples never do one thing right in all of the book of Mark. They guess every question wrong. They're afraid. One time, Jesus comes to them walking on the water, and they thought he was a ghost. Another time, he was with them in the boat, and the waves kicked up, and they were afraid. They just started crying out. You know, two of the disciples were named the Sons of Thunder. That was their nickname, right? The Sons of Thunder were crying like little babies because the waves had kicked up. You know, they instead of the Sons of Thunder, they sounded more like Shaggy and Scooby. They thought it was a ghost coming after them. And Jesus says, oh, he says, where's your faith? And then he calls them this name. It says, oh, ye of little faith. But it's just one word, oligopistoi. You know what it means? He says, where is your faith, puny faiths? That was his nickname for them. He called them puny faiths, not just once, but several times in the Bible. He's always calling them, man, you guys are a bunch of puny faiths. He goes, why are you afraid? And so if you would have me in your life, you should have courage. You should have faith. And so to have God in our life like that means also that people can have faith in us. They can trust us because they know where we're coming from. And so the fruit of true faithfulness is that we can be trusted by others. When it's a good time or when it's a bad time, people know that when they come to us, they're not going to get fear. They're going to get faith. And so Jesus told his disciples, He or she, if you are one, he says, he or she is faithful in that which is least, is faithful also in that which is much. And he that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much. If therefore you've not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your trust the true riches? I'll get there eventually. And I read that in King James on purpose because I love that phrase. Unrighteous mammon. Do you know what that is? Money. I used to think wrongly that maybe he called it mammon because there was some kind of a god of money back in those days that people would worship. And that's really not true. Mammon was an Aramaic word, which is the language Jesus spoke. And it was just a nasty way of referring to money. So whenever Jesus is calling it mammon, especially unrighteous mammon, he's not giving it a compliment. He's just talking about, man, I hate that. Unrighteous mammon. This isn't a message against money, by the way. Money's a neutral thing. It can be good or bad. But have you ever noticed in the Bible that Jesus never had money on him? He never carried cash on him. several times in the Bible. One time they needed to pay the temple tax, and he had Peter catch a fish and got a coin out of its mouth. Remember that story? Another one, they said, should we pay taxes or not? And he says, all right, somebody give me a denarii. So why doesn't he ever have money on him? And he gives it to him and he says, look, whose face is that on the money? And whose inscription is that on the money? And they said, it's Caesar's. And he says, well, then give back to Caesar what belongs to Caesar and give back to the Lord what belongs to the Lord. That was kind of a snide comment, by the way. He wasn't saying anything good about Caesar or his stinking money. He says, give it back to Caesar what he's got coming to him. Because that kind of stuff isn't what believers are about. And I'm going to come back to it. Don't let me forget. Why did Jesus never have money on him? Because it's going to come back in point number two. All right? All I want to tell you today is Jesus says, if you can't be trusted with stinking money, then he says, why would I give you more important things to be trusted with? I think it's so important, friends, that God can trust us with our taxes, that our boss can trust us with the cash register, that people can trust us with just little things. There's a reason, by the way, people every once in a while will come and give me their tithe or their offerings as if I'm one of the ushers. I send them to the usher. Now, you don't have to raise your hand, but that's happened many, many times over the years. I won't even take a quarter from a little kid to go in the offering. I want everybody to know that money isn't my money. That's the Lord's money. It goes to him. Go find an usher. And that's the way it is because I want to be sure. And by the way, it's why I've survived for 26 years and 31 in ministry with 26 year and never had a financial scandal. Why? Because I don't even touch that stuff. I don't even know the combination to the safe. Somebody went on Facebook a couple of years ago and was writing nasty comments, and they're gone now, thank the Lord. But they were writing all these nasty comments, you know, under a presumed name, and one of them was that, oh, that Pastor Mike, he takes all the offerings and goes and hides it in a safe up in the hills. And I'm like, what? I don't even know. Ask the ushers. They can tell you. I don't even know the combination to the safe. I never even see the money. And I'm here preaching to you when they're counting it. So how in the world could any of that be possible? It's just not true. And I've spent a lot of time making sure that people can trust me with the little things. Why? Because I want Jesus to trust me with bigger things. There's bigger things than money. How many knew that? There are bigger things. My son is a Marine. He just got home from overseas and is back with this little family. And the Marines have a motto. Any Marines in this place know what the motto is? Semper Fidelis, Semper Fi for short. It means always faithful. That's the Marine Corps motto. I can't believe, is there not one Marine? I didn't get one hoorah, so there must not be. Okay, all right. But that's what it means, always faithful. If I could just do one thing for the rest of my life, it would just be faithful, because faithfulness produces fruit. And so when I am faithful, when I can put my faith in the Lord, when I can not only be trusted, but also be trustworthy, it's not just something that comes from positive thinking. Here's where I want to get back to that. People will say sometimes that the kind of faith the Bible is talking about is positive thinking. Like when I go to pray for healing, I just need to close my eyes and believe and not doubt. And if I can just be like that, then somehow God will answer my prayers. I've tried it for years, friends. If you've ever gotten to that point where you can pray and never have one sliver of doubt, you're a better Christian than I am. And I'm full of faith. I trust God every time I pray for it. But the only way you can get rid of all doubt is to get a lobotomy, is to have brain surgery. Because if you're still thinking, you're going to think about things twice, aren't you? I'm always going to say, Lord, I just pray for complete healing in this person's life. I don't know how you're going to do it, and that's not up to me. That's up to you. I'm in sales, not management. And my job is just to pray. And I pray with faith, and I pray with everything in my heart. But friends, faithfulness expressed is expressed in the fact that I came to the Lord and prayed. It's a practical decision. That woman in the city of Capernaum that had an issue of blood, and she came and she reached out to the hem of Jesus' garment. Do you remember that story? And instantly she was healed. And Jesus looked at her and said something amazing. He says, daughter, your faith has made you whole. Your faith has healed you. That word sozo means to be healed, to be made whole, to be saved. He says, your faith has saved you. Now, what was he talking about? That she had kind of a supernatural, healing evangelist kind of faith? You know how her faith was expressed? She reached out to Jesus. That's what it was. The only prerequisite for that kind of faith is you got to be really desperate. Is you got to be the one person on the planet that knows how desperately you need an answer. And she reached out to him, and he honored her faith. You know, have you even wondered sometimes, is that how we're supposed to do it? It was kind of a little superstitious of her, wasn't it? If I could just touch the hem of his garment. Jesus didn't care. He didn't disqualify her. He didn't say, nope, I'm not going to do it. You didn't do it right. You didn't hold your mouth just right. You didn't quote the right scripture, and so I'm not going to answer your prayer. Do you think God would be like that? That he's waiting for us? Friends, I got to keep talking about this because I see some puzzled looks, and I know this has happened a lot. If you've been in church long enough, you're going to have one friend, at least, meaning perfectly well, that read too many books about faith, and now they're going to come and tell you that the reason that God didn't answer your prayer is because you lacked the faith. It is the most messed up teaching about faith I've ever heard. Can you imagine God being like that? So a mom, right, is praying for their little child who's sick with all of her heart. And she's crying out to the Lord because she loves her child and she loves Jesus and she honors him by praying morning, noon, and night. That's faith, by the way, trusting in the Lord. And for some reason, that healing delays. And so God is going to listen to that prayer. Do you think this is what happens? Is that God is going to listen to the prayer of that mama and say, you didn't pray it right. You didn't quote the right scripture. Go back, read some more books. Come back to me when you've got the faith thing down. That's not what faith is, friends. Faith isn't the power of positive thinking. Faith isn't mind over matter. Faith is just coming back to Jesus and trusting him. Say, Lord, today I really need an answer to this prayer. And however you answer it, I'm going to put my faith in you. And if things go great in my life, I'm going to serve you. And if things don't turn out the way that I hoped, I'm going to serve you either. I'm here because you're a faithful God, and I love you with all of my heart. In Romans chapter 1, verse 17. And by the way, every once in a while, I just go off on a tangent. Have you noticed? That isn't even in my notes. Every once in a while, I just feel like the Holy Spirit laid a word, and there might be just one person that needed to hear that today. And I never know who it is. Sometimes I do. One time I was in the middle of a message like that, and I was talking about the Philippian jailer. Remember that story in Acts? And in the first service, I didn't say anything about the Philippian jailer. In the second one, something just broke my heart when I read those words, that when the jail was busted open by the Lord and Paul got out, the Philippian jailer was about ready to fall on his own sword, to take his own life. And right when I said that, I just started going off on a tangent. And I just started talking about the fact that sometimes we can get so depressed or so down that we just want to end it all. And that it's a permanent solution to a temporary problem. And I said, if you ever feel like you're struggling with that, don't let the enemy win. Don't let his voice be the loudest one. Listen to the voice of the Lord. He loves you. He cares about you. He's got a plan for you. And there's no problem that's so great where taking your own life is the solution to it. No problem. And then I just went on. I didn't even know why I talked about that. And after the service, there was a woman I didn't even know. And she came up from the back, and she just waited politely until I was done talking to people and came up, and she says, I just wanted to tell you something today. She goes, that thing that you were talking about, suicide, she goes, this morning when I woke up, I had a plan that I was going to take my own life. And because of what you said, I wanted to go to church just one last time. And I came to church and you said that, and I know that was the Lord speaking to me. I said, can I pray for you? And she goes, no. And then she walked away. She said no because she was so emotional. I think she didn't want to break down. But I'll never forget that time. And there are times when I know that it's just words that I've studied and words that I know that the Lord has spoken to me. And there are times that the Holy Spirit, will just give me a word while I'm preaching. And so if that ever happens, just receive it. Anybody say amen? Just receive it. In the Bible, in the book of Romans, it says, For in the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed. A righteousness that is by faith from first to last. Just as it is written, the righteous will live by faith. I love that word. That was the word that for Martin Luther changed his heart. Before he led the Reformation in the Middle Ages, which began the Protestant church, Martin Luther was a young priest that was always feeling guilty, always beating himself up. Even the priests that were over him said, Martin, lighten up. You're too hard on yourself about everything. And he finally had this revelation, the righteous will live by faith. And in the Greek and in the Hebrew, it's translated a little different, in a little different order. The righteous by faith will live. So it's not only about our lifestyle of faith, but it's also when you have faith in your life, it will give you life. It's life-giving. It's life-saving to put your faith in God when you don't have anything else to put your faith in. It's a life-changing experience. That phrase comes out of Habakkuk chapter 2. It's a phrase, and same in the Hebrew, it's the righteous one, the tzedek, by faith will live. And that whole NAV says by faithfulness. It's not just positive thinking, but it's by faithfulness. And so Habakkuk was living in a time when Jerusalem was going to be destroyed. And he cries out and asks God a question, Lord, how can you do this to us? You know, what's the answer? I know it was bad in Jerusalem, but how could you let the Babylonians come and conquer us? And the word of the Lord came back to him. Listen, my righteous one, because of his faithfulness, will live. It's not just an emotion. It's not just the power of positive thinking, but it's just being faithful. I'm preaching to the faithful this morning. Well done. I don't care if your mom or dad made you come. Well done for minding and for getting here. Well done. You get credit for that even when it wasn't your decision. You get credit. But God calls us to be faithful because he knows that's what saves us. Paul says it's a righteousness that's by faithfulness from first to last. Get up in the morning, be faithful, go to bed at night. Thus you've done the will of the Lord. This is it. Just follow after him and don't give up. Anybody say amen? Say amen. The second thing is, not only does faith make us a person that can be trusted, but it also... faith is something you can share. How many know faith is contagious? Isn't it? Fear is contagious too. And I'm always struck at how often in the Bible those two words, they're almost opposites, but I think it's even more complex than that. Faith and fear have a very close relationship. In fact, sometimes I think that you don't know what faith is until you're afraid. It's not a disqualifier. Fear is a prerequisite for faith. I have a coffee mug that I got from the John Wayne Marina up in Squim, Washington. Did you know there was such a thing? It was his favorite place in Squim Bay to come up and to take his private yacht and park it. And it's still owned by his sons. I went and took my trailer there. I didn't even know that place existed. But I had to get a mug. And so I got a coffee mug on the inside whenever I go camping. Wakes me up in the morning. It says, courage is being scared to death and saddling up anyway. Faith is the prerequisite for it. And so it's in that day of fear that we need to listen to the voices of faith. That's when we really need our brothers and sisters. Amen. That's when we really need the word of God. It's when we're having that day that makes us afraid. Whether or not we're willing to admit it, we have had plenty of reason to be afraid over the last year. Man, it's like if anybody could have told us 2020 was going to be like this. A global pandemic broke out. And then race riots broke out. And if that wasn't bad enough, then we had this election that was really contentious. And on top of all that, murder hornets. Murder hornets. Whoever made those things up? Why do we need murder hornets? But they were out there. I haven't seen one yet, but I'm scared to. I don't want to see a murder hornet. Does anybody else? Anyway. So you can hang around with a bunch of other scaredy cats, or you can find the people of faith and hang around with them. How many know we need those kind of people in our life? 1 Thessalonians chapter 3 says, we sent Timothy, who is our brother and co-worker in God's service in spreading the gospel of Christ, to strengthen and what? Encourage you in your faith so that no one would be unsettled by these trials. Oh, man. That's why I tell you I've got good news for you every Sunday, because you don't hear that kind of stuff on the news. You think the news is worried about making you afraid? No, it sells tickets. That's how they sell advertising space. Stay tuned. You'll never guess what they're doing this week. And then you, I got to find out what they're doing this week because I got to get upset all over again. They're peddling in fear. And if we're not careful, we'll even let some of our good intention, I'm just going to give them the benefit of the doubt. Christian brothers and sisters every once in a while can help us be afraid too. Man, there's no lack of conspiracy theories, and I don't care which political aisle you are on. There are people that are just scared. They don't call it that. They say they're more informed than the regular person. But then they go back, put their tinfoil hat on in their basement, and stir up more controversy. You'll never guess what I read on the internet. Well, you know, they can't put it on the internet if it's not true. My kids will come to me sometime, Dad, have you heard this? This? I said, where did you hear that? One of my friends. I said, oh, great. I said, yeah, that's really a good source. Your friends don't know anything. Don't listen to them. I love your friends, but listen, just sometimes we just need to turn off all the noise and listen to the voices of faith. Anybody say amen? By the way, all of these compliments Paul pays Timothy, some of our best theories about Timothy was that he himself struggled with it. Because there's, you remember what Paul told Timothy? God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of what? Power and of love and of sound mind. Ever since the beginning of this, that's been my favorite verse. Because it doesn't matter who you are or who you voted for. One of the things we can't do is to be led by fear. Fear is never from the Lord. But, notice he says, but of power. So, power and courage to do the right thing, the ability. I don't know if I'm going to get through it. Yes, you can. You've got the power of the Holy Spirit, of power and of love. So love will lead me to do things I don't even like to do. I hate wearing a mask, but I do it. You know, I'm going to take it off and burn it in a big, I can't wait. Someday we're going to have a big mask bonfire and dance in circles around it. Can you wait for that? I can't wait for that day. But I wear it for now because I love other people, not only concerned about whether or not they get sick, but I'm also loving to people that are afraid for all those reasons. I just do it because of love and of sound mind. And here's the great one, friend. Don't ever forget that part of having the Holy Spirit in our life is it gives us a sound mind. That means a good head on our shoulders. Common sense. Man, isn't there a serious lack of that these days? And you know, I love it. I'm being very vague because I know you're all thinking of the opposite political side when I say all of these things. Aren't some of those people crazy? They are. And there's just so many different opportunities. Can I just mention one? And I'm not going to, because I don't want to step on anybody's toes. But here I go. I have big feet. I can't help it. But this last week, for probably about the 12th time, I've had somebody come and tell me that they heard a preacher somewhere say that the COVID-19 vaccines were the mark of the beast. If you don't know that phrase, it comes out of the book of Revelation. There's one little verse about it. And I just got to tell you, I've been studying it for 30 years. I have a master's in theology. I've studied the end times. And by the way, when I go to research something, I don't just read one theory. I don't know if you ever noticed that about me. But if you come and ask me about the end times, I can tell you with educated, tell you without even trying to make the other side sound silly. I can tell you about 12 or 15 different theories. And all of them have been around forever. And so there's one little phrase about the mark of the beast and the number of his name. I have my best theory about it. The mark, you know what a mark is? The word karagma in Greek. It means a stamp. And so it was a prophetic kind of word. You want to know the answer to this? And I'm about ready to tell you what the mark of the beast is. who did not know I was going to go this direction a couple minutes ago. And so it's a stamp. It's the word that they used when they made money. I told you a few minutes ago, ask me why Jesus never had money, didn't I? Because in Jesus' day, the Second Temple Jews, many of the most devout ones, there were some real hesitations about money. They didn't like money. Did you know this, that money did not exist in the Old Testament? They traded in cattle and silver and gold. Whenever you see the word money in the Old Testament, that is a very late phrase. That's after the exile. So the Persians were the first ones to ever have coinage. And so when they came back from the exile, they were using money. And for a lot of devout Jews, that was a sign and a symbol that they were already conquered. It was a sign of being a sellout. Why didn't Jesus ever have money? Hey, give me, whose face is on that money? It's Caesar's. And he says, yeah, give it back to Caesar. What business do we have with that stuff? And so they would stamp it. This is so cool. Today they have big hydraulic presses to make the money. Back in those days, they put it down there and have like a big 6-foot-long hammer and go, wham, and stamp it like that. And that's what that word means, to be stamped. And on it, I should have brought a picture, but on it was the seal of the Roman Empire, which had the face of Caesar on it. That time it was Nero, whose name, by the way, in Hebrew letters adds up to 666, no joke. And across it, the top of it, that says, this is Nero Caesar, the son of God. And so their money was not only idolatrous, because you weren't supposed to make any graven images, right? And so just the fact that it had a face on it was very, very sellout. And then it said on their money that Caesar was Lord. And so Jesus hated that stuff. He called it mammon. He goes, get that stuff out of me. It's very, very powerful when Judas, one of his disciples, sells him out for what? 30 pieces of stinking silver. And it was a Tiberian shekel, which is what they used for the temple tax, which had Caesar's face right on the midst of it. And so the book of Revelation says there's two kinds of people during that whole conflict in which Roman got conquered. He said there's those that have the name of the Lord on their forehead. Do you have the name of the Lord on your forehead? That's not literal, by the way. Don't go check in a mirror. It's not there. I'm not telling anybody to get a tattoo when they go home. But it says that those that were saved had the name of the Lord on their forehead, stamped on their forehead. It was like the stamp on a slave. I belong to Jesus. That's what it means. It's like in Toy Story when they looked on their foot and it said Andy. So it wasn't a literal mark, but it was a sign. There was two kinds of people in this great war in the book of Revelation. He said there is those that belong to the Lord and there's those that have sold out to the pagan empire. There are those that say that Jesus is Lord and some that say that Caesar is Lord. Which one are you? And so friends, I got to tell you, the mark of the beast is really what happens when people sell out to something other than the Lord. Commit their life to it. Yes, you can sell out to money, but in Jesus' generation, after Jerusalem was destroyed, one of the big answers to that was the reason the Lord let Jerusalem be destroyed is because they had sold themselves out to Rome. And it was true. They were sellouts. That's what the mark of the beast is. So since then, even since I was a kid, people have tried to pitch me a line about what the mark of the beast is, scare me to death. Like somehow if I mess it up, I'm not going to heaven. You know, everything from credit cards, I've known people that will only use cash because the credit card is the mark of the beast. Social security numbers. You've heard these theories, haven't you? There are old Pentecostal preachers that retired penniless because social security was the mark of the beast. It wasn't true. But all of these theories get recycled. Don't let anybody tell you that getting a shot so that you don't get a virus is a mark of a beast. It's nonsense. It's not true. It's not in the Bible. Are you a child of God? Come on now. Are you a child of God? Are you a believer? Are you a Jesus follower? Or do you worship Caesar? Jesus, right? Jesus, the Lord of your life? His name is written on your forehead. Your name is in the book of life, and no one can scratch it out. Somebody say amen. And so there are two kinds of people that happen. When everybody's running around being afraid, Some people come and preach courage. Some people speak common sense. And some people want to stir up more fear. That's how you know if the voice is from the Lord or not. If the prophet is peddling in fear, you know he didn't come from the Lord. Anybody say amen? I know I'm going to get in trouble. I told you here I go stepping on toes. I can't help it. I've been getting in trouble ever since for the last year. Anytime I talk about anything, I get two different emails, one from one side and one from the other. I figure as long as I've got half of them mad one way and half mad the other way, I'm probably in the middle someplace. And I'm probably thinking about it right. But somebody's got to be a voice of reason. Anybody say amen? If I ever say anything you disagree with, that's okay. I've got six kids. They don't agree with almost anything I say. And I'm their father. My wife doesn't agree with me most of the times. And so it's okay. But I just want you to know, there's no reason to be afraid. You can have courage. Don't let anybody talk you out of something or into something because of fear. I'm not going to tell anybody whether to get a shot or not. You can make up your own mind. All I know is Molly and I got our first one last week. We were in the line. It hurt. I got a little bit of a headache the next day, but I want to get over this thing. I want to get rid of the mask. So you do what you want to do, but I just can't wait to get back together and be normal. Anybody? All right. And so whatever else happens, and I think this is important. Whatever else happens and whatever else we do, whether we get a shot, don't get a shot, wear a mask, don't wear a mask, it's very important for us not to be led by fear, amen, nor bound by stubbornness. I didn't get as loud of an amen on the second one. I have found, and this is just Pastor Mike speaking, I've been watching it for a year. Two of the biggest opponents to soundness in the faith in this last year, in this pandemic, have been fear and stubbornness. I don't know. I'm not going to tell you which one you qualify. Are there any stubborn people here? Anybody stubborn? See, now look at you. Put your hand up high. Be proud. It's all right. I'm not here to judge you. You people with your hands up, there is hope for you. I have hope for you because at least you know there's a problem. You people with your hands down, you're the ones I'm worried about. You're in church, for Pete's sake, the place of forgiveness, and you can't even admit that you've got a problem. You're telling me to raise my hand? Who do you think he is telling me to raise my hand? I'm not raising my hand. Oh, no problem with stubbornness, eh? Oh, it's a trick question. It's a trick question. One thing that I've learned throughout this pandemic, people do not like to be told what to do. I don't care what it is. Stand in line, stay 6 feet apart. I'm not doing it. And when we're out of control, which we all are, let's face it, we don't get to choose when our kids go back to school. We don't get to choose what stores are going to be open or when the restaurants are going to be open. But doggone it, if nothing else, that thing's staying right there and nobody's going to move it. When everything's out of my control, I look for one thing I can control. One thing. Nobody's going to make me wear. I'm going to wear my mask, but it's going to be cocked off to the side, just like that. It's going to be just under my nose, like this. And whatever it is, I don't know. We all have our own little. We're looking for some way to have control again. Faith is being able to trust the Lord and not needing the control. When I have faith, I say, Jesus, you're in charge. You're in charge. You're in charge. I don't need to be in charge. You're in charge. Book of Mark. Remember how I said the disciples never did anything right? Even after Jesus died, at the last part of Mark, he says, later, Jesus appeared to the 11 as they were eating, and he rebuked them for their lack of faith and their stubborn refusal to believe those who had seen him after he had risen. Even after he was gone, he was coming back and saying, listen, guys, if you're going to make it, you got to have faith, and you got to stop being so stubborn. And so we have a choice, friends, how we're going to respond. We also have a choice how we're going to help our brother or our sister. What are you going to do when you come up on one of your friends and they're digging themselves a big, huge hole of fear? They're digging and digging. You got a choice. You can either throw them a shovel or you can throw them a rope. You can either help them be afraid and make it worse, Or you can speak faith into their life. Speak courage. I don't know if I can make it. Yes, you can. Yes, you can. If you know a verse, tell them it. Say, don't you remember what the Bible says? We can get through this. And if you feel like you can't get through it, I'll help you. We'll get through it together. Maybe today is your day of faith. Maybe tomorrow's mine. Maybe tomorrow I'm going to need you to speak faith into my life. Anybody say amen? Oh, it's happened a lot. It's happened a lot. I don't know where I'd be without Molly. She's a woman of faith. And even when I'm worried or upset, she speaks faith into my life. And we need that in each other. Amen? And the last thing is just this, faith to persevere. Faith is this, by the way. Faithfulness is that thing that helps us to stick around. Jesus said, but I've prayed for you, Simon, that your faith may not fail. I've prayed for you. Our greatest challenge is sticking in there till the end of the race. That's what faith is. It's faithfulness. Faithfulness. So in the book of Revelation, this word came to one of the churches in Revelation. It says this. Would you read it with me? Do not be afraid about what you're about to suffer. Now, trust me, the church at this time was undergoing persecution. They were even being put to death. And he came to them and said, do not be afraid of what you're about to suffer. I tell you, the devil will put some of you in prison to test you, and you will suffer persecution for 10 days. But do what? Be faithful, even to the point of death, and I will give you life as your victor's crown. I love it. Because what? The righteous person, by their faithfulness, will live. They'll live. He will help them get to the end. This poor church, they were being persecuted, put to death, put in jail. Oh, come on. What have we really suffered? You know? It was so bad in so many different places, and even in so many places in the world today. We can get through this. We can get through it together, and we can get through it because God is on our side. And just in case you need encouragement, anybody need encouragement today? I just want to show you one of the happiest things I've seen on YouTube for a long time. It was a track meet. It was a woman's track meet, and they were running around the track, and they were on the last leg of the track meet. Just when they thought that they couldn't make it anymore, somebody jumped on there and showed them how it was done. Watch this. What you're looking for is a fuzzy dog. So just in case you ever had a doubt in your mind whether or not dogs were awesome, the answer is yes. Yes, they're awesome. Just when you think you can't make it, you're on the last leg of the race, and we're getting close, friends. Sometimes we just need someone else to fill us with faith, to show us it can be done. I even like the fact that that dog was so ornery, tried to trip her at the end. But other than that, we can make it. We can make it. We can get through it. You know, and if kids... If you've ever wondered, how important is faith in our life today? Can I just tell you, as a pastor, one of the most precious experiences I've ever had in many occasions is to be with somebody at their bedside when their life was coming to an end. And if you ever have any question whether or not faith matters, can I just tell you, to be at the bedside of somebody that is a woman of faith, that is a man of faith, the difference is enormous. It's completely different. It's powerful. You know, even with my own father, when he couldn't even talk at the end, and he would be racked with pain, and I would pray with him. Whenever he would come to, he'd start mumbling something, and I'd say, "What's that, Dad?" And I'd get down closer to him, and he'd say, "Turn to the Gospel of Matthew." And I said, "Oh," I took him home, and he said, "He's preaching. He's preaching. He's kind of, you know, not half there. He's got one foot in heaven. You know what he's doing? He's preaching the word." The word of God was just in him. It was the thing that sustained him. I'm going to tell you, when you see that kind of faith, you say, "Lord, I don't want to ever be without that. I'd rather have the worst day in my life with Jesus on my side than the best day without him. The one thing you can't get by with in life is faith, because it saves us from first to last. Anybody say amen? Say amen. So can I just pray with you today? Let's pray. Father God, Lord, I just pray if there's even one person here today, that you say, if I had to put my finger on it, my faith is growing weak. Maybe I've lost my faith. And just like you prayed for Simon, I pray right now, Lord God, that you would strengthen that brother, strengthen that sister. Fill them with faith. Fill them up, Lord God. Not just some kind of a positive mental attitude, but that genuine faith that puts its trust in the Lord. When everybody else around us, Lord, is trusting in their own wisdom, is trusting their own counsel, is putting all their trust in their ability to do it, Lord, I put my trust in you today. I trust you. I trust you with my family. I trust you with my finances. I trust you with my life. I trust you with my future. I put it in your hands today, and Lord, because you are such an amazing, faithful God. Hallelujah, Jesus. And friend, while nobody's looking around, just for a moment, if you have yet to put your life in the hands of the Lord, to say, Lord Jesus, be the Lord of my life, be my Lord and my Savior, I put my trust in you today. That's a statement of faith. That is something that we do because we believe him and we trust him. So if you're here and you'd like to say that prayer in a moment as we pray, would you just look up at me for a moment? Is there anybody that needs to do that today? Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Or online, if this is you, we're going to pray this prayer. And you pray this with me and just give it to the Lord and tell me if it doesn't make a difference. Say this with me, would you? Lord Jesus, I give you my life today. Come into my heart. Be my Lord and my Savior. Forgive me of all of my sin. Wash me clean and write my name in the book of life. In Jesus' mighty name, amen and amen. Hallelujah. Give the Lord a clap offering today and just thank him. We worship you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. I love all of you so much. I can't wait to see as some of you start coming back, and it's great to see all of you that came. And if we start packing out, we'll add another service. Amen. Lord bless you. Have a wonderful day.